Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. In his message titled, To Begin With Blessing, Reverend David Williams tells us that our lives are filled with difficulty. Our will cannot change the world, and that upsets us. Sometimes this can lead to rage, and while it feels good, it does not bless and give love to others as God asks us to do. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. As we come before God this morning, we come out of lives that can be filled with difficulty, that can be places of trial where we find ourselves and our desires not changing the world in the way that we want it. Our own power, our own will pressed out on the world does not change it, and that makes us upset. And we tend to respond to that upsetness not by saying a calm word to still us, not by trying to bless the world towards a more graceful place, but by acting out, by raging against those who stand before us. When we do that, it might feel good, but it does not move the world closer to healing. Right now, let's admit that rage is easier than grace. Let's admit that that feeling is strong in our hearts, and let's do so in our prayer of confession, which is an earlier draft of the prayer of confession than the one that I actually ultimately wrote. So after the word defiance, let's stop for a moment. And I'll ask a question. Let's pray this prayer together. Gracious and almighty God, nothing is more tempting than offering up a curse from the heart of our anger. When we grow frustrated, when we feel we are challenged or overmatched, we want to meet those frustrations with words of defiance. Where we are challenged, where people come at us with anger, do we feel joyous? Do we desire healing?
Yes.
Do we feel joyous when we are confronted?
No.
Do others feel joy in their hearts when we come at them with blind rage?
No.
We know this because we live it. But when we feel anger in our own hearts, we forget that, and we become a curse to others, where Christ asks us to be a blessing. Oh, how easily we forget that those who oppose us are also children of God. And together, the last sentence. In Christ, please remind us of this. Amen. We know our anger breaks the world. We know our hatred harms others, and yet are we condemned? Together, let's hear the assurance of pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along on page 4 of your pew New Testament. Let us listen a third time for God's Word. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they may be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It begins with a blessing, a little ritual. That is the start of every meal, a little word of grace every time I eat. And my most common prayers, the most common times I offer up a blessing, tends to be in the silence of my own heart, my eyes closed as I bless the canned soup or the three-day-old leftover Chinese that tends to be my lunch. And in the morning, that's a prayer, but it's an even shorter prayer, an attenuated, informal evocation, something more along the lines of, "Dear Lord, thank you, Jesus, coffee." But when gathered together, when my little family has sat down to eat over the years, the blessing has taken on another form, a ritual that has sustained, and it's as much as I like designing liturgies and rituals, it's not mine. Being the professional prayer, when I sit in my family and we gather around, I make a point of not doing that. "You're the pastor, you say the prayer." I'm like, no. No, because I know there's a danger in that. There's a tendency of pastors, when asked to offer a blessing in a meal, to feel like it's their opportunity to stunt. You know, I mean, it's stunt prayer. You've got to say something that in that moment is wildly profound and transformative. Even if you're just sitting in Burger King, it has to transform a life. "I had better pray the heck out of this prayer," you think to yourself. And then you're thinking about the performance and not the message, and you end up talking for 10 minutes and using words like transformative and trying to make everyone feel guilty about the hungry people in the world. And then you're talking about the koinonia of the common table of kingdom justice, and everyone is sitting around wishing you'd just wrap it up because the mashed potatoes are getting cold. So instead, knowing that tendency, I insist that someone else offers up that grace when we're together in family. And typically that means that it gets assigned to one of my children. And that means that you get into a ritual, a pattern where the same prayer gets prayed over every meal, and we've kind of gotten to this blessing formula that springs and sprang from the minds of 7-year-olds and 5-year-olds years ago when a 5-year-old has said, "Well, it's your turn to say the prayer." And so the household prayer, every time we pray, goes, "Thank you, God, for this food," which is a good start. "And for all the people we love," it continues, which is also good. Someone will always whisper at that point, "And the people we don't." But that's not part of the formal prayer. It's the aside. And then it goes, thank you for, and then everyone around the table is pointed to in turn and named. And if anyone's missing, who we hope would be there, we'd say, and blank, who's not here, at the end. And then the conclusion always ends the same way. And all of the people and mammals we love, amen. And none of us can remember exactly why it is we are blessing mammals at the end and who it is that put that into the prayer. That's just sort of having been forgotten in the hurly-burly of family life. But, you know, what would a blessing be without remembering those among God's creatures whose warm blood flows through their large four-chambered hearts? And there's been talk over the years that this is kind of unfair to other of God's creatures, the amphibians and the reptiles and the intelligent invertebrate cephalopods. But, you know, really, there's only so long you want that prayer to go. We begin our meals with a blessing, a word of goodness, just because it's better that way. It's better than simply digging in and being complacent that there is food on the table. It's better than that indifference. It's better than the grasping sense of immediate entitlement. We start with a blessing because it makes a statement about what is to come. And it's always better to start with that because it sets the tone, it sets the purpose. The intent of this thing we are about to do is goodness, it says. You start with a blessing because it gives a sense of the why of a thing. It creates in you an attitude of gratefulness, which supports and redefines what is to come. You begin with blessing. And from that knowledge, we hear this morning Jesus starting the most important thing he was to teach in the gospel. With blessing. Hear a meal of his words, and he begins this Sermon on the Mount, the fulcrum upon which his ethical teachings to us as his followers begins that with blessing after blessing after blessing. Here we are at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, all the way through 7, here we are at the start of the golden heart of the Christian ethical life. These chapters are the foundation upon which those of us who try to follow Jesus are expected to build our lives, and that is why it is important that it begins, as anything that is intended to nourish us, begins with blessing. Here they are, blessings presented one after another, offered up as a support, as a challenge, blessings that are striking because they invert the order of things, blessings that don't always they don't reflect the blessings we expect, the things we anticipate as a marker that we are living a blessed life. In our culture, when preachers get up and talk about blessings, it tends to mean what? I want to be blessed with what? Too often that becomes blessing understood as the stuff of prosperity and riches, of success and fame and glory. Blessings are those things that are gilt with gold and sparkle. Blessings are those things that allow us to stand up as powerful and bold and better. Blessings, things that are easy to see, easy to perceive. Blessings understood in the context of a social order that honors power and wealth. And in the face of that, Jesus gives a whole series of difference. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, are the merciful, are the pure in heart and the peacemakers. Blessed are the persecuted. Jesus blesses, and it's hard for me not to hear that blessing as I hear the blessing of my own family, Jesus going around the table, speaking the names of those who are gathered one by one as he starts with a blessing. And he doesn't mention mammals. That would have probably just confused people. What he says here, these are the people who have a seat at the table in the kingdom of God. Here in Matthew's gospel, it is that proclamation of the kingdom of God present at hand that he is declaring. And he says, who is there? In this we can hear who is not. Not at the table are the people who strive and struggle and press no matter what and whatever cost to get what is theirs. Not them, but the poor in spirit. Not the exultant and the victorious and the comfortable, but those whose hearts are broken and who mourn. Not those who lie and manipulate and threaten to satisfy their appetites, but those whose greatest yearning is for justice and righteousness and balance. Not those who bear within them carefully nurtured grudges and resentments, but those who understand that they are to forgive and show grace. Not those who are hypocrites, who speak one thing and do another, whose heart is turned towards whatever, but whose souls show integrity of purpose in pursuit of what is good. Not those who tear down and create conflict for their own advantage, but those who deepen the hold of compassion as the foundation of the kingdom. And not those who oppress and beat down, but those willing to stand up for the good news of love and justice and mercy, no matter what the cost. This Jesus brings as blessing. And the ancient world that received that teaching first, thousands of years before this moment, was filled with humans. And that's why it's so familiar. They weren't all that different from us. Ancient Rome and ancient Judah favored those who sat at the table of power, but that is not the table Jesus is praying over. Not the table prayer from Jesus as he begins his teaching. Instead, in this little list of blessings, we hear him changing the expectations of those gathered around him. For the purpose of giving hope where there may have been none, for the purpose of establishing the different nature of God's power in a world that only seemed to value the power of gold and the power of the sword. We will, many of us, be partaking of meals this upcoming week. As Thanksgiving arrives, that annual ritual of feast and table that is such an integral part of our American journey. The place where we sit down together, where we are meant to slow down, catch our breath, loosen our belts, and be together wherever we are fortunate enough to sit at table. It is a place we are meant to sit and look at each of the faces of those who have gathered with us. A place where we give thanks for the great blessing of liberty, for the freedom to speak and to worship and to think as we see fit, without fear of tyrants or oppression. It is a place where we give thanks for the bounty of the land and particularly for the mercy shown to strangers who had arrived and found themselves hungry in a strange land. That is the story of Thanksgiving, and it is a thing worth blessing. We receive that blessing as we hear Christ offering blessings over a teaching that is at the heart of our faith. And so, next Sunday, and for the next 8 weeks over there in Speer, we're going to be having conversations about this teaching, about the wisdom and guidance and spirit found within the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus blesses with these Beatitudes today. We're going to carry on with that. And that means that for the next Sunday and into 2017, you kind of know what I'm going to be preaching on. Because the blessings we receive here and throughout this golden heart of Christ's teaching are important now. It's easy to be distracted in a culture that is consumed with anger and grasping for power, consumed by hungers that are not hungers for truth and justice and good, but the desire for something that is very different than peacemaking. It is important for us to hear these core teachings again and hear the claim they make on all of us if we want to follow the path that Jesus taught. And they are a blessing. They are the blessing that if we hear and let it shape us, if we engage with it, if we let these blessings guide our self-understanding and our life, they shape what is to come. Just as a heartfelt child's blessing, repeated from love, shapes the grace that guides our eating and appreciation of a meal together. Let these blessings and the blessings of the Spirit be with us all. May that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It does not feel to my soul like there's a lot of blessing going on out there. There is a lot of anger, and there's a lot of cursing of one form or another, of condemning, of cutting down, a lot of making sure not a lot of good happens, which is why listening for what Jesus tells us is important in our lives seems like the thing to do now. And as Jesus starts this teaching, he says, be humble, be meek, be peacemakers. Be willing to stand up for that even if it costs you. Jesus says, this, if you want the blessing of the kingdom, is what you must do. And so hearing that, I receive that as a challenge. Jesus starting this and saying, your life, if you wish to receive the blessings that are reflective of the kingdom, must look like this. And so he begins his blessing over the path he expects of us. And we need to hear that. And we need to act on it. So that as we step out into a world where meekness may not be the most valuable thing, where being poor in spirit may not be the thing that people tell us to be, and where being a peacemaker really seems sort of strangely countercultural, we are asked to step out and be that thing in all that we do. In this time when our culture needs to hear that witness, let your words be words of grace and challenge and reconciliation. Let your actions be a bless you to everyone you encounter, especially if that may not be the first word that pops to your lips or that wants to pop out on the keyboard as you're writing a comment to someone on Facebook. Challenge yourself with that. That desire not to be passive, but to push grace out into the world, to speak that grace that defines the table in the kingdom of God. Speak that to all you encounter. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.